The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Start
spreading. Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and joining me on the phone today from the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, Al Foreman. Good morning, Al. No, Al. Okay. And so, let me just go right into the rest of the show. I'll kind of give you a little bit of an update. Yes, indeed, the air conditioning is on at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, which certainly does make the preparation work, that great preparation work for creating that Save-A-Lot store, much easier. And so the painting is almost finished. Hopefully today the shelving will arrive, and you know what happens after the shelving arrives. The products are then able to be placed on the shelves, putting us that much closer to a grand opening. And just a little notice, because the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center won't be open probably the middle to end of November. I am going to be doing a lecture at the Greenland Store. That's where I'm broadcasting from this morning, the Greenland Store, 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach. And I'm here from 11 to 2 doing nutrition counseling every Friday. And a special added event going to take place on October 6th. That's a Thursday. So for an hour, from 5:45 to 6:45 on Thursday, October 6th, at Greenlands, I'll be doing a talk with regard to supporting hormone balance and breast health. And that happens, as I said, Thursday, October 6th, 5:45 for 1 hour. So I'll be talking about making changes in your diet and how those changes will support breast health. I will be making some recommendations on some of the tried and true supplements, the nutrients that are so supportive of creating hormone balance. Then a discussion on how you can best address testing. Should you do hormone testing? Should you do a mammogram or a sonography? Lots of information to create a better awareness of how you can be proactive at protecting the health of your hormones, and that hormone balance leads to breast health. So one of the things that I was planning to talk about today is, what kind of information do you get when you go for a physical? You come away maybe with one or two pages of information. And does the doctor actually address it? Does he look at the things that are too high or too low? And do I possibly have Al joining me? No? Okay. So, if you are dealing with this paper and you see your red blood cells, white blood cells, you see a whole big breakdown with regard to that blood chemistry, maybe you've done a urinalysis, maybe you see some liver enzymes, but you don't necessarily even know that those numbers are liver enzymes. So what about those results that you get? how critically important to your decision making are those results? What kind of in-depth reporting or analysis do you get with your doctor? Does your doctor go over it step by step, item by item, and talk to you about, oh, you're getting toward the higher end of the reference range? Maybe you're getting to the lower end of the reference range. And in some cases, high end might be good. In other cases, low end might be good. So lots of information for improving your health and helping you make good decisions about your diet, your exercise, your lifestyle, your water intake. Lots of information about that. But how much do you really get when you go over those routine blood tests with your doctor? Okay, so your red blood cell, hemoglobin and hematocrit. Very often I see people and their red blood cells might be just a little low, maybe out of range, and the same with the hemoglobin and hematocrit. And it's kind of flagged on the blood test, and maybe when they're talking to the doctor, their physician looks at it and says, oh, well, your red blood cells are a little low. Let me give you a prescription for some iron. Well, taking the iron may or may not have a beneficial impact on that red blood cell result. It most likely is not going to dramatically increase your energy. So if you're talking to the doctor about, oh, doc, I am just walking around dragging. It's an effort to get out of bed in the morning. So what are some of the things that your doctor could be suggesting to you but might not necessarily go beyond a recommendation for an iron prescription? Well, your doctor could be talking to you about doing a B12 shot maybe once a week for 6 weeks or so and see if that not only perked up your energy but created a difference with regard to the profile of red blood cells, hemoglobin, and hematocrit. So then you might look down a little beyond on potassium and sodium. Okay, so what are you looking for with the potassium and sodium issue? Really what you want is kind of in sync with one another. That if your potassium is low, you do not want your sodium to be in the higher range. So if your potassium is mid-range, the sodium should be, let's say, in the upper one-third of the sodium reference range, right through mid-range. You want them properly balanced. You want that ratio between sodium and potassium working very well. And that's another issue for your doctor to address with you. Are you going in and you're saying, you know, my energy is really low. And if your potassium level is low, you may very well find that correcting that potassium level may make a very nice change. Supporting your potassium level could be just the thing you need to begin to trigger energy production in your body. So, as I said, you want the potassium at least mid-range. You don't want it to be low, and of course you don't want it out of range. Out of range potassium would be indicative of either too much potassium in your diet or supplementation, or it may signal that you're not drinking enough, you're not hydrated properly. Too much potassium might come about, and this is an interesting thing, but I have seen it rarely, but I have seen it, that when sodium is very low, that potassium is not properly balanced, and it does go very slightly out of range. So important, step by step, to take a look at all of these different components of your blood work. Okay, Moving down just a little bit on your blood test results, you may see calcium. And the reference range is 8.6 to 10.4. Now, they've raised the calcium level over the past couple of years. The different lab results have changed from 10.1 or 10.2 and raised it to 10.4. So what is that telling me? It's telling me that they're seeing more and more and more people with a calcium level that is over 10, significantly over 10, in the range of 10.3, 10.4. Why should that concern you? Well, for years, I've been telling people about the dangers of elevated calcium. Calcium, when it is not properly metabolized and it's constantly circulating at a high level in your bloodstream, can contribute to the start of arthritis. That's it. The calcium is going to start to accumulate on the soft tissue around your joints. And I said it's the start of arthritis because what does that calcium do? It tends to irritate that soft tissue in a joint. It tends to create inflammation. And imagine little grains of sand stuck in that area where there is soft tissue, where two bones come together, that joint. Those little grains of sand are going to break down that cartilage. When the cartilage starts to have scratches in it, when it starts to have little injuries, very gradually over time, the cartilage breaks down. What happens when you have that breakdown of cartilage? Discomfort, lack of mobility, a reduction in flexibility. So much happens when calcium is too high circulating in your bloodstream. And what you want to do is pay very close attention to your calcium level. And if it starts to get at 10 or over 10, then we have to really take a look at hydration and calcium intake over the course of the day. It is almost time here for a break on Save a Lot Nutrition Center radio show. And I'm Janet Cimarelli. I will be right back after these messages.
Janet Cimarelli wants to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find a Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in and say hello. Get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
Want to keep up to date on progress at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate? You can visit SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. Do you want to find out even more? Go to info@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com and tune in every day for the latest updates on special events coming up at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and learn more about the low, low prices coming soon at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I've been talking about reviewing your blood tests and just how much time is spent with your doctor reviewing your blood tests and how much information do you get on a regular basis after you've gone in for a physical. And there isn't any discussion about possibly the issues that you've brought up for discussion with your doctor. The look on your doctor's face says, well, here's the blood test and everything's in range. you're good to go. Maybe you're not sleeping so well. Maybe that is contributing to your fatigue. Here I can give you a sleeping pill and something to help you, a prescription to help you sleep. Your digestion is a little off. Maybe you're not getting the absorption you need. Here I can give you this prescription, digestive support, or any number of different prescription recommendations, and we're not really addressing the results on your blood test. So I was saying, very often you see the calcium level, and as I said, the range is 8.6 to 10.4. Even though you're in range at 10.2, you want to get back down under 10. And so often, I mentioned the ratio between potassium and sodium. There's another ratio that's so important, and that is calcium-magnesium ratio. So you see the calcium level, but very, very rarely do you see a magnesium level. And even if you do see a magnesium blood test listed on your results, that magnesium level is serum magnesium, and it really doesn't tell you very much truly about how functional magnesium is within your body, how well it is able to do its job. So what is magnesium good for? Muscle relaxation, overall relaxation. In certain individuals, it's contributing to regularity. It will contribute positively to the quality of your sleep. So calcium and magnesium need to be in certain ratio. And for years, I've been telling people, well, when you buy a typical mainstream CalMag formula that's been recommended by your doctor to prevent bone density loss, usually there's calcium, let's say 500 milligrams, and half the milligram dose of calcium, typically you'll find magnesium at 250 milligrams. This is just an example. And there's research that supports that ratio. There's also really credible research that supports the ratio an even number of milligrams of calcium to magnesium. So certain calcium-magnesium formulas will have 250 milligrams of calcium, 250 milligrams of magnesium. And there is further credible research, again, done at respected institutions over a long period of time, because you do need an extended time frame in order to evaluate how well these minerals are working. And that research says you need twice as much magnesium as calcium in order to properly metabolize the calcium. That is, break it down so it is able to be supportive of maintenance of bone cells. Okay, so that would be 500 milligrams of magnesium, for example, and 250 milligrams of calcium. So my recommendation, if there is need for calcium support, calcium supplementation, my recommendation is go with twice the milligrams of magnesium as calcium. So 500 milligrams of magnesium, 250 milligrams of calcium. Now, we have to pay attention to what forms of these minerals are you taking in. If you're buying your formula at a discount store, a big box store, you may very well find that it's calcium carbonate and magnesium oxide, possibly even dealing with the additional substances in that formula, sometimes things like talc, sometimes things like artificial colors. you have to read the small print on those supplement packages. And do you want calcium carbonate? No, it's very difficult to assimilate. Do you want magnesium oxide? No, it too is very difficult to assimilate. And consequently, you need, if you are looking to do the best of the best of the best to support your bone density, and that's typically why people are using the calcium magnesium formulas, you need enough vitamin D. You need to check your vitamin D levels. You need the forms of calcium and magnesium that are going to be the most metabolically active. So those forms would be things like calcium citrate, magnesium citrate, any form of those minerals that are properly produced, bound to an amino acid. That amino acid chelate version of a mineral formula supports very much the ability of your body to take that mineral and shuttle it to where it's needed in your body. So important to understand that just getting a calcium level on your blood test doesn't do the trick. You need to know what the calcium magnesium ratio is. And the serum magnesium doesn't tell you very much. What you need to be testing is red blood cell magnesium, RBC magnesium. That red blood cell magnesium is telling you how functional the magnesium is within your body, that it has been able to be delivered to within the cell. That's where magnesium does its work. I have been dealing with so many individuals lately who have been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, AFib. And their doctors are watching them very closely. They're monitoring their heart rate. They're monitoring blood pressure and so on. It would be advisable to follow up with magnesium, a red blood cell magnesium test, and then go about specifically optimizing magnesium level. As I said, magnesium helps muscles relax. Your heart's a muscle. You need to have potassium to do the electrical stimulation for a heart contraction, beating of your heart. You need to have magnesium in order to relax the muscle. When the calcium-magnesium ratio is out of proper range, then there's too much calcium, which is the contraction of muscle, not enough magnesium to properly relax the muscle, and unfortunately, very often, what is the result of that imbalance? It is spasms. What could you say about AFib? Spasms in different chambers of your heart. So if you're dealing with elevated blood pressure, that's contraction of your blood vessels, impeding the free flow of blood. And what do you need? Some magnesium to allow those blood vessels to relax. Keeping in mind, those blood vessels are essentially muscle tissue also. So much you can learn from your routine blood tests. But do you have these kinds of discussions with your doctor? Does your doctor even acknowledge that nutrition and specific nutrients play a very therapeutic role? I unfortunately know if not too many doctors address the blood test results in this way. Okay, what's one area of the body that one area of your blood test reports that for sure your doctor is going to review with you? Your cholesterol total. And maybe it's been going on for a number of years and your doctor says, well, if we keep seeing this number going up, we're going to have to put you on a statin. We're going to have to put you on a drug that's going to lower this number. Why is it that the doctors are so focused on that total cholesterol number, but are not necessarily acknowledging the importance of the ratio HDL to LDL? Maybe it is important to take a look at your triglyceride numbers. Maybe that's even more important than the total cholesterol number. So why is it that we keep referring to LDL as the bad cholesterol? I don't understand that. LDL cholesterol is the fat molecule that will deliver immune cells, white blood cells, to the site of an infection. That sounds like a pretty important function to me. And when we come back from this break, what I'm going to talk about is the importance of LDL-HDL ratio. Take a look at triglycerides. Let's talk about the truth behind this cholesterol fraud that we have been subjected to. So, you're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I am here at Greenlands 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach from 11 to 2. I have appointments to meet with people to review their supplements, review their diet, review their blood work, and get people focused and on the path to good health. Stay tuned. More to come.
You can find out more about the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, sav-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn more about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. Want more information? Go to Al at SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune every weekday morning to Save A Lot Nutrition Hour. Janet Cimarelli will be available for nutrition counseling sessions at Save A Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and she'll keep you updated on the construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the PennDOT Center.
Hello, and welcome back to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here at Greenlands, as I mentioned, 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach, 2 miles north of Atlantic Avenue. And I want to remind everyone that on Thursday, October 6th, 5:45 to 6:45, I will be doing a presentation on nutrition with regard to hormone balance and breast health. So we'll be talking about diet recommendations and the supplements that you can take, how to go about achieving balanced hormones. Let's talk about the differences between mammograms and thermography. Understand the difference between synthetic hormone replacement therapy and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And all of that takes place Thursday, October 6th, 5:45 to 6:45, right here at Greenlands in Delray Beach. If you're interested in finding out more about this presentation, 561-921-4238 is the number to call. 561-921-4238. That's the number to call if you're interested in making an appointment to see me here at the Greenland store in Delray Beach. Remember, this is a service of the store, so there is no charge for the nutrition and counseling appointments here at Greenlands. All right, I was reviewing blood test results, something that I do with regularity when I am talking with any one of my nutrition counseling clients. And before the break, I was talking about how we have been subjected to this viewpoint that cholesterol is behind our cardiovascular issues here in the United States. Remember, these cardiovascular disease being the number one killer of Americans here in the United States. And okay, that it's a killer, but think about the disability and the inability to truly enjoy life when you've been diagnosed with cardiovascular disease, when your mobility is limited, when you are dealing with discomfort, chest pain, and so on. Well, let me just begin to talk about that cholesterol impact. First of all, 50% of heart attack patients, 50% have normal cholesterol. I bet you've heard that statistic before. Have you ever said it to your doctor when your doctor is telling you, oh, we have to address your cholesterol, we have to put you on a statin, those numbers have been going up, and you really are at serious risk? Don't call me when you have a heart attack if you're telling me that you're not going to accept this statin drug. Okay, so maybe your doctor has gone beyond. Maybe you have taken the statin drug, and you then maybe a year or so later go into your doctor and say, Doc, I'm breathless when I'm walking. I am experiencing this squeezing chest pain. Something's wrong. And, okay, so what are you doing? They're doing the follow-up tests, and the doctor comes back and says, well, you're a candidate for angioplasty. We've identified the blockage in your coronary artery. We can just get in there, put a stent there, open up that artery, and you'll be fit as a fiddle, ready to go. Or maybe during the testing procedure, your doctor has identified that there are multiple blockages in your coronary arteries and that he's suggesting bypass surgery. So maybe he says there are three blocked coronary arteries. You need triple bypass. No, there are four blocked arteries. You need quadruple bypass. And then the winner of all those bypass recommendations, quintuple bypass surgery. And so the recommendations are, here, take the statin drug. Did taking the statin drug minimize the possibility of the accumulation of debris in your coronary arteries? Well, not if your doctor's talking angioplasty and bypass. So what kind of information do you need to be receiving in order to minimize the possibility you'll ever be having that discussion with your doctor? Oh, and one more thing. If you've got such serious blockages in your coronary arteries, is it possible that there might be blockages or buildup of debris in other areas of your body besides your coronary arteries? Might your carotid artery circulation be compromised? Might compromised circulation be the issue to your lower extremities? So is that bypass surgery going to address the blockages elsewhere? And what happens after the bypass surgery? Are you at risk for additional accumulation of debris in those replaced coronary arteries? All very serious things to think about. And so let's review the cholesterol numbers from a different perspective. Let's talk about triglycerides. This is so interesting because very recently, there were reports on the internet that the sugar industry deflected information that sugar could be behind some of the cardiovascular disease. And you say, well, how could that be? The sugar's not accumulating in my blood vessels. Isn't it cholesterol plaque? Yes, it is cholesterol. It is LDL cholesterol in particular. But why is that LDL cholesterol accumulating there? Why are calcifications apparent with that LDL cholesterol? It's the calcium and the LDL, sticky LDL cholesterol, that is ultimately building up. But what keeps it building up and building up and building up? Inflammation. What is one of the four certain things in our diets that we know contribute to inflammation? Sugar. And when I say sugar, I'm not just addressing that product from cane sugar, not only that product derived from sugar beets. I'm also talking about sucralose, aspartame, saccharin. There are a variety of different synthetic sweeteners that have inflammatory responses in your body. Suppose you're taking so much of these different sweeteners and it's changing your blood sugar chemistry. When your blood sugar chemistry is elevated, the potential for inflammation is increased. Maybe you're not a big sugar person. Maybe you say, well, I never eat sweets. I specifically avoid sweet foods, but I'm not giving up my bread. I'm not giving up my pasta. What do you mean I can't have rice with my beans? Those are some of the contributing factors to elevated cholesterol. So the sugar, the artificial sweeteners, the bread, the rolls, the crackers, the cookies, the pasta, the cereals, and your rice. So when you're having pasta, a couple of strands of pasta with lots of different vegetables. Maybe quarter cup of rice with your very well-seasoned beans, and throw in some vegetables. Maybe a little spinach, for sure some parsley, lots of garlic, lots of olive oil. So there are certain ways that you can use to minimize the potential damage that is possibly occurring because of the dietary choices you're making, and those choices are leading to elevated triglycerides. Those elevated triglycerides are leading to inflammation within your blood vessels. So those very sensitive cells lining your blood vessels, those cells that are meant to move blood smoothly through your body, those cells are being compromised because of dietary choices you are making. And you've been told you should stay away from red meat, you should stay away from fat, but what's that product that's making the inflammation? It's all of those starchy carbs. It's all of the sweeteners. So important for people to understand that we have been unfortunately misled. It was interesting because the Sugar Association funded studies at Harvard, and those studies were meant to prove that the offending dietary choices, those offending choices that led to circulatory disease, that led to elevated cholesterol, those choices had to do with fats. But did they really? No, indeed. It was inflammation behind it all. And certainly over the past few years, you've been hearing more and more and more about the inflammation contributing to any number of diseases, inflammation contributing to circulatory disease, inflammation contributing to joint disease, inflammation contributing to digestive disease, and even to cancer. So what is your assignment should you choose to accept it? Do everything you can to reduce inflammation. How can you test that? And is your doctor testing that? What kind of information is helpful? What kind of information do you need on your blood test in order to make those informed decisions? What kind of information do you need in order to work on reducing triglycerides? Those triglycerides, if they're elevated, they're for sure indicative of a high carbohydrate or high sugar diet, or both high carb, high sugar. And you may say, well, I never use sugar. I only use sucralose, and my doctor said it's fine. The registered dietitian that the doctor sent me to told me I can use equal. It's not going to disturb my blood sugar chemistry. Another recommendation was it's okay to use sucralose or Splenda. It's not going to interfere with my blood sugar chemistry. In a certain way, you may very well find that not only are the sugars and the artificial sweeteners contributing to subtle changes in your blood sugar chemistry in your A1C number, if your doctor is testing your A1C, and certainly you have the ability to make some changes. What's one sweetener change you can make? Stevia. And people say to me, oh, I really don't like the taste of stevia. It has an aftertaste. I want to stay with my sweetener that I have now. Well, I tell people, try lots of different stevia products because there may be slight differences in taste with the stevia products. And you might even start your sweetener odyssey with Truvia, because the Truvia is for some people a little bit more palatable, a good way to start. So that's my take on what you need to be testing with regard to cholesterol, HDL-LDL ratio, triglyceride levels, and of course, bring your blood tests into me. I can review them with you and give you personalized information on what's the best way to support your heart and circulatory disease, support your heart and circulation, minimize circulatory disease. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and when we come back, some more information that you can look for on your routine blood test. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That is where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait for special sales. Every day of the week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Want more? Go to info@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
Hi, this is Janet Cimarelli, and I want to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, Florida. 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in, say hello, get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
And welcome back to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. Keep in mind, this Save a Lot Nutrition Hour is brought to you by the Save a Lot Nutrition Center, coming soon to Margate, Florida, just a half mile south of Sample Road on State Road 7. In the PennDOT Center, you will find the Save a Lot Nutrition Store. That Save a Lot Nutrition Center is going to be bringing you EDLP. What does that mean? Everyday low pricing. That everyday low pricing is going to provide your pocketbook a little bit of nutritional relief. You're going to be able to save every single day. You don't have to wait for a special high-powered sales. You don't have to wait for buy one, get one, three specials. You can have every day low prices on the foods and supplements that you use every day. And all of that is coming soon, and we will keep you up to date on the construction progress at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. And so now back to the subject at hand, and what am I talking about? Inflammation. So what are some of the other tests that can be done to evaluate the potential for inflammation to develop in your body? First of all, a urinalysis. You want to see what your pH is. That acid-alkaline balance that you want to investigate, if your pH test result comes in at 5, that tells you that you are dealing with an extremely acidic body. What does that mean? Well, an acidic chemistry within your body is telling us that you are more prone to inflammation. You are more prone to degradation of certain vulnerable cells. So you have a range of 5 to 8 on the pH noted on your urinalysis in your routine testing. Well, do you want to be at 8? No, not really. The challenge is, like the CalMag, like the HDL, LDL, like the potassium, sodium, you want a proper ratio, that proper balance. So somewhere between 6.5, 7.5, ideally right around 7 is what you want for a pH, and you can always find pH testing strips to test your urine and your saliva. Now, where is a place in your body where you want a very high acid environment? Your stomach. That's how your stomach functions. It functions with very high acids. And so what do you think is happening to all of those individuals who are taking acid blockers, antacid products, both prescription and over-the-counter antacids? They do the same thing. They block the production of acid in your stomach. Do you think that that's the right thing to do? You might be getting just a little bit of relief from indigestion and bloating and discomfort like that. But how do you want to truly go after that discomfort? With the proper profile of digestive enzymes. And that's one of the things that I've done with my Janet's Best formulas, created a very, very gentle but effective array of the kind of enzymes you need to properly break down your food. When you break down the food with the proper acids and enzymes in your stomach, all of the other functions of your digestive system do seem to fall into place. Antacids, lowering the enzyme or the acid content in your stomach, is the opposite of what high function in your digestive tract requires. So keep in mind that pH balance that you're getting from the urinalysis, that's very important for you to understand the target, that nice ratio between acidic body chemistry, alkaline body chemistry, and your goal with the urinalysis pH is about 7. And then when you have that proper acid-alkaline balance, the potential for inflammation is once again reduced. So are you being tested ultra-sensitive C-reactive protein? That's another way of determining if your body is in a metabolic state very supportive of inflammation, the opposite of what you want to achieve. So what are some of the ways that you can go about reducing the inflammatory marker, ultra-sensitive C-reactive protein? Let's start with something simple. How about water? Proper hydration goes a very long way to implement that right balance within your body, that right balance that will achieve minimal inflammation in the background, minimal development of inflammatory processes. So what's another thing that you can do to enhance how the water is going to work? A little bit of lemon juice. What's that going to do? It's going to eliminate or help to eliminate some of the metabolic fatty debris that may have been accumulating in your liver, and it's going to work on balancing that pH level so the potential for inflammation is reduced. So important to understand that there are approaches that are supportive of good health with no negative side effects, no negatives that may very well be associated with some of the prescription approaches that have been suggested to you. So, again, what are we doing trying to reduce inflammation? Omega-3 fatty acids. Now, if your hormones are out of balance, and I'll be discussing this at that lecture that I'm giving on Thursday, October 6th here at Greenlands on nutrition with hormone balance. Hormone balance, if your hormones are out of balance, once again, you are at risk for developing inflammatory response. And some of the products that are available to help to balance the hormones and minimize the possibility of inflammation would be things like borage oil, black currant seed oil, MCT oil, evening primrose oil. So many different options with regard to reducing inflammation. And so if you think it's the hormones being out of balance that need to be addressed, those oils I just mentioned would be highly recommended. And keep in mind, sometimes the combination of those oils is a way to go. But one of my favorites for reducing inflammation, omega-3 fatty acids. And when you're dealing with inflammation, the omega-3 that you want to focus on is the EPA. And so when you're looking at an omega-3 fatty acid, you look at the breakdown and see what the total milligram content is for the omega-3s. Then you want to see what the breakdown is. Is the EPA higher than the DHA? And when you're dealing with minimizing inflammatory processes in your body, you certainly do want to have a higher level of EPA. You can have equal EPA, DHA, but my recommendation is look for a product that has an elevated level of EPA and a slightly lower level of DHA. You're looking to support your brain chemistry, then you want that proper ratio of EPA, DHA, possibly a little bit higher DHA for the brain function. And it's time for me to wrap up today's edition of the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Keep in mind that we are here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11, and you can go to SaveALotNutritionCenters.com to hear archived shows at that website, SaveALot. NutritionCenters.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I have truly enjoyed sharing this information with you. I'll be back on Monday at 10. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.